Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, just last week on this program, we covered half of the topic of a new book that I'm writing. The title is The Four Horsemen of the American Apocalypse and Our Six Trials by Fire. That either sounds to you like a message from the Bible in the Book of Revelation, or maybe the next installment in the Harry Potter novel series. It's actually neither. If you missed the episode when it aired, go back and watch the podcast at piratemoneyradio.com. I was joined then, as I am now, by my dear friend, business partner, and co-host of Pirate Money Radio, the amazing Mike Carter. Hey, Mike, what do you think so far of the coming book?
Excited about the book. I mean, last week's show, I thought was just super insightful, the way the dots are being connected. Scary at parts, but interesting to get into what we're going to do today, the seals and maybe some of the solution to this.
Yeah, well, the seals are in the Bible. We talk about trials by fire, but they're very similar, yeah, aren't they?
Yes.
It's easy yeah.
I don't want to get off track. We're looking at a framework that maybe fits into what's in the Bible. This is not biblical prophecy we're talking about today, but an economic framework and a geopolitical framework that is setting up for those things that we see in the Bible.
And there are real parallels. Now, that in the Bible, it is a white horse conquering and a conqueror, a red horse took peace from the earth and people killing one another, a black horse is a pair of scales in his hands, which this one actually directly ties. It says a quart of wheat for a denarius. Mm-hmm. That's inflation. You spend an entire day working and all you can get for is a quart of wheat. That's serious inflation. And it went on and said, don't touch the oil and wine. And there's some prophecy around why that is in the Book of Revelation. But basically, inflation is a killer on par with conquering and people killing one another. And then the final horse is a pale horse, which is death and Hades. So inflation made the big bad four, mm-hmm, of the Bible. It is underlying a lot of what we're talking about, the four horsemen of the American apocalypse, which in our case, that is the red, which is
communism,
the green,
radical Islam,
the blue,
the globalist,
and the yellow.
I'm afraid to say that might be us.
The traitors.
People that are not us personally, but within our own country, traitors and people that are greed and apathetic. And
yep, the colors that we're facing are exactly those, three external threats and one internal enabling threat. But the impact of those is serious. I'm not saying it's serious like the end of the world, which is, you know, what the Bible's talking about in Revelation, where, you know, Jesus could tarry another 1,000 years or 10,000 years or 10 days or tomorrow he could show up. We don't know. We do see birth pangs and we do see tremors and wars of rumors of wars and things like that. But what we're talking about here is not the end of the world. We're talking about really maybe the end of America, but definitely economic threats that we're seeing and your money being under attack. Why is your money under attack? Those four horses of the American apocalypse are why, and that leads into the potential for the failure of money. It was in Egypt where it's written, Genesis 47:15, when the money faileth, and I'll read, and when the money in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan all faileth, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread. Why should we die in your presence? For the money faileth. And Joseph said, okay, give your cattle. I'll give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. Yeah, that's in the King James, and for the asses. And the asses are not the yellow horse, but yes, they are. But in this case, the donkeys. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year was ended, they came unto him a second year and said to him, we will not hide it from my lord how that the money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore should we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh and give us seed. that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man in his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's, and it started with, "And when the money faileth," tell your story about Zimbabwe.
But they gave up their freedom is what they did there.
They gave up everything.
And they gave up everything. And
why? Because the money failed.
The money failed. Yeah. Which is a scary situation. Is our money failing right now? Yes, it clearly seems that it is.
Well, I explain what your friend from Zimbabwe said.
Yeah, so Zimbabwe said that inflation would never happen. You got to get this transactional gold legislation passed. You don't realize how important it is. He said, in my country, he said inflation would never happen until it did. And overnight, there was a hyperinflation.
And he sold what?
He had to sell his truck for 3 loaves of bread.
Bread. That's exactly what happened when the money failed. They had to sell their cattle, their horses, themselves, and their land for bread. This is what we're facing.
And let's go to modern day times. If we do that today, what would we do? We're like, well, we need help. Help, whatever it takes. Get, then we will probably take this thing called a central bank digital currency.
That is one of the 6 trials by fire that we're facing. Mm-hmm. It's not the first one. But it is one. All of
I'm
this
skipping
is related
ahead,
to
but that's
money.
That's what's in my mind right now.
Yep. Well, you're jumping ahead, but it's all... It's always a crisis that ushers in tyranny, and money is usually at the heart of the crisis. Luke 16:11 says, if you aren't faithful with your money, no one, that includes God, will trust you with true riches like liberty, security, and values. You want to return America to greatness under God, you have to return America to sound money and be faithful with your money. We had a crisis in 1971. Nixon took us off gold convertibility. Prior to that, even people couldn't own gold. From 1933, a presidential order took us off the gold standard for Americans. 1971 took us off for international nations. When we finally removed that, we unleashed, and we covered this last week, the red, the green, the blue, and the yellow horses that go back. Listen to that episode. You'll see how Nixon empowered communism, Sharia, globalism, and the cowards in America. What's important to understand that God tests our work by fire. He tests our work by fire. It says so right in 1 Corinthians 3:12-14, it's King James, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, tested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What survives the fire? Wood, hay, and stubble?
No, I'm going to stick with gold. Gold and silver.
And what happens with them? They get purified by fire. Proverbs 17:3, this is the pastor's translation. In the same way that gold and silver are refined by fire, the Lord purifies your heart by the tests and trials of fire. Gold and silver come out pure. We are tested by fire. These are our 6 trials by fire facing in America. They all deal with money, and your money, whether it survives or not, will depend on what sort of money it is and what your heart attitude is toward God. So the first trial by fire is the debt bomb.
Yeah, or the debt trap, because it looks like a trap that we're in right now.
Well, it's going to explode, and it is a trap. It's a trap that's going to catch us in and then blow up in our faces. Our debt, when I wrote this book, Pirate Money, our debt was $32.1 trillion. I marked it down, took a picture of usdebtclock.org, and then I looked at it just this year, just a few weeks ago, it was $38.3 trillion. Over $38 trillion. We've raised our debt $6 trillion in 2 years. The amount of debt per taxpayer, per individual, has gone up $78,000. You're a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. You owe another $78,000. I owe another $78,000. Every taxpayer, another $78,000. You know, it took us until 2008, 232 years from the founding of this republic, until we hit our first $6 trillion. And then we, in the last 2 years, added another $6 trillion.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It defies all logic. You're like, this is impossible. How do we get here? The things we're talking about right now don't seem impossible from where we started in life early on, as early adults in our careers. We saw inflation, but to think it would go from where that was to $38 trillion and growing, $1 trillion in the last 71 days?
It'd be $40 trillion soon, mm-hmm. maybe in this next year. And interest alone on that is $1 trillion per year. This is the debt trap. It is also the debt bomb. It is our trial by fire. This is, we're being tested right now. Will we survive this trial by fire? We will if we are based in God and God's plan and God's word. The question is, will we? We're going to cover this and more right after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm joined by the great Mike Carter. And guess what? We are doubling or quadrupling, not doubling, quadrupling our debt every 15 to 20 years. And if we do that over the next 20 years, we won't even be able to pay the interest on our federal debt with all tax receipts. The money will fail us, just like it did in Egypt. Mm-hmm. We don't have money to pay the interest. So what will we do? We will surrender all of our liberties, all of our economic capabilities, all of our independence. We will lose our liberty, our security, and our values.
And it sounds impossible, but there is historical precedents straight out of the Bible, and it looks like we're on that same path, and you start to look at the biblical prophecy that says that is going to happen again someday.
Yeah, no, and it's outside the Bible, you have Alexander Fraser Tytler, a Scottish economist, who wrote at the time of the founding of this nation, 250 years ago, he said, democracies last 250 years. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic, but everybody in Washington calls it a democracy. We act like it's a duck. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, swims like a duck, it's a duck. All right, so we're supposed to have a constitutional republic. We've been acting like a democracy. They only last 250 years. Why, you ask? Greed, Tytler answers. Democracies fail when citizens realize they can vote themselves largesse from the treasury. And Tytler adds, a democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by dictatorship.
And that greed is that fourth horse we talked about last week, that yellow horse.
Yep. Give me my student loans for free. Give me free college. Give me rent control. Give me government grocery stores. Whoa, they did that in New York. They just passed that in the law in New York. By putting Mamdani I guess they didn't pass into law, but they put Mamdani in the mayor's mansion.
It's part of his strategic plan.
Yes. And what do I get? What's mine? What do I get? Mm-hmm. Even Trump is talking about, well, we're going to give you $2,000 per person from
tariffs.
The tariffs.
Yeah.
This is frightening when it's all about this. And so what happens? How do we get that money? We issue new debt. Who owns the debt?
Well, China's owning a lot less of it. Our foreign adversaries are buying a lot less of it. It seems like we're starting to own the debt, our 401ks, our pension plans.
The Federal Reserve and our own government, some other nations, and that money that is that debt will be tested by fire, will be purified or burned up. Our debt is literally 100 times greater than it was in 1971. We owed $371 billion. We owe more than 100 times as much. When we were on the gold standard, there was a restraint on how much debt you could create. When Nixon took us off the gold standard, it was so we could pay for the wars abroad, Vietnam War, the Great Society, the war on poverty, government programs, all the free things happened when we went off the gold standard.
And none of those worked.
None of those have worked. In fact, our poverty, we still have poverty. We still have all those problems. But we're talking about trillions of dollars and people, $1 trillion in interest only. That is $1 trillion. We think $1 trillion, well, it's a lot less than $38 trillion, what the federal debt is. But you know how much $1 trillion is? It's essentially all credit card debt from every American. We just hit $1 trillion. This is August 2024. Credit card debt hits a record $1.14 trillion. New York Fed research shows. They're spending $1 trillion just for interest. Everything we all own on credit cards, is being paid in interest every year. That is a debt bomb.
A debt trap.
A debt trap?
We're in a debt trap. We got to get out of it. There's a way to do that. We're going to get into some of that.
Yeah. Oh, well, borrow is a slave to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. We're supposed to be leaving an inheritance to our children's children instead of saddling them with debt, which is Proverbs 13:22. Good man leaves inheritance to his children's children. According to the word of God, a nation that has to borrow So much is a nation under a curse, not a blessing. That's Deuteronomy 28. Will we pass this trial by fire? Unfortunately, not with paper money. Now, I want to point out, support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering, a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchase. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to pay, to store, and to use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint provides access to gold for modern spending. You know, it's kind of a personal gold standard to reverse what happened in 1971 for your family and for your personal.
You know, and you know, when you say allocated physical gold, that's actual gold that I own that's held in a vault somewhere that I can attach a debit card to and spend. I want to talk about that just a little bit because when I hear about this debt and this bomb and all that's going on out there, it's important that people start to think through what are the solutions that I can start to do to be prepared if we don't turn this thing around.
Well, that's what Pirate Money Radio is all about. Pirate Money, the book, you can learn more at piratemoneybook.com. Basically said this is a path out, and six states actually passed it in their legislature based after reading the book, passed it in their legislature. Five of them signed it into law, including Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and Missouri. Governor Sanders, I got to be there, got the signing pen, got to be with Governor DeSantis, got the signing pen, got to speak at the signing, passed unanimously in those states. Bottom line, people are looking for alternatives. Why? Because paper money has led us to the next trial by fire, which is a coming dollar attack. And that is coming fast at us. It's a trial by fire. I was in Moscow with our producer, Russell, in 2006, and we together learned how Putin resented the dollar because we were having profligate spending. He was the Charles de Gaulle of his time. De Gaulle's the one who said, hey, I don't want dollars anymore, I want gold. Putin resented the dollar. He formed the BRICS Alliance in 2006, and in 2008, he tried to take us down. Here's a Business Insider headline. Crazy Putin pushed China to dump Fannie bonds and crush the U.S. financial system. Who said that? Hank Paulson, our former Treasury Secretary.
I remember those videos where he was speaking about that. And at the time, nobody believed that was going on.
I had that news before the rest of America because I was working with the Pentagon people, and we knew it. The Chinese admitted it in a private meeting at the Summer Olympics. And Igor Panarin, a buddy of Putin's, was quoted in the Wall Street Journal in 2008. Now, this is a speech he gave years earlier. He said mass immigration, economic decline, and moral degradation would trigger a civil war, and the collapse of the U.S. dollar is theory called U.S. foreign debt, a pyramid scheme, and predicted China and Russia would usurp Washington's role as global financial regulator. He called our debt a pyramid scheme, and they're going to work together to destroy the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That was flat out. You know what the Chinese said to him?
They weren't quite ready at the time, correct?
In 2008, they said, no, I just recently learned we had a 40-year agreement with them under Richard Nixon that they would support the dollar for 40 years. If we built up the Chinese economy, if we funded it, if we bought their cheap goods, they agreed to recycle those. And they did. They recycled their money into U.S. dollars, bought treasury bonds, were the largest owner of treasury bonds on planet Earth. But in 2013, that time was up. And here is a headline, October 2013 on CNBC. China state media blast U.S. shutdown, calls for a de-Americanized world. And they directly said, we're going to get away from the dollar. This was their economic warfare policy. They held nearly 12% of our debt at the peak, and now they hold about 2% of our debt. That's the Chinese plan. That's what they were doing. And you know what? When they did that, they telegraphed it. They wrote it in the Quixi magazine, the house organ of the Chinese Communist Party, and they flat out said that they were the most powerful weapon they had was to sell their dollar reserves and to not buy U.S. dollars for a certain period of time. It would weaken the currency and cause deep economic crisis for Washington. They said it's market-driven and we will not be able to easily blame them for that. That is economic warfare. sadly, at its finest, and it's a huge and growing threat to America.
You know, you start to look at this stuff. Success is when preparation meets opportunity, and China is playing a long game, and they're being prepared. And they're looking at the opportunity to potentially take this down and become that global ruler out there. But we as citizens need to take that same preparation meets opportunity approach now. What should we be doing to be ready for these things?
Well, you'll learn more by reading Pirate Money, the book, mm-hmm. piratemoneybook.com. You can learn more about the state efforts at transactionalgold.com. But it's not just communist China. Here's the also amazing thing that I found. Osama bin Laden, a Saudi, writes in his 9/11 speech, actually gave this as a speech. He said, hitting the economic structure is basic for military power. If their economy is destroyed, they will be busy with their own affairs rather than enslaving the weak peoples. It's very important to concentrate on hitting the U.S. economy through all possible means. The attack on our debt and our currency came from bin Laden himself, and it was a death by a thousand cuts. He could have flown those planes into the Ohio State-Michigan game and easily killed 250,000 people in the surrounding area. He hit the World Trade Center. He wanted to hit the economy. This is based on, we quoted him last week, Ayman Zawahiri called expressly and repetitively on the Islamic public to sell their U.S. dollars to buy gold instead. He predicted a collapse in the infidels' economy starting from the American markets. Literally, the green axis, the green horse, wants to destroy our dollar based on our debt. Not just them, the blue horse also on this trial by fire. We know George Soros broke the British pound in 1992. It was called the trade of the century when he broke the Bank of England, brought it to its knees, pocketed $1 billion, made $1 billion in all his accounts. That's pretty cool. But he demolished the monetary system of the British. That's what they want to do. And it's not just Soros.
But he made $1 billion while it hurt the people.
Yes.
Those unsuspecting people that weren't prepared.
It's the World Economic Forum types that want you to own nothing and be happy by the year 2030. It's the International Monetary Fund who's got a plan to replace the dollar. It's the 32 nations of the BRICS system that want out of the dollar system. Here it is. The dollar is no longer the default, with BRICS now boasting 11 full members and 30 more countries begging to join. The world's financial tectonic plates are shifting beneath our feet. The message is clear. Global powers are abandoning the West's fiat empire. As Washington continues weaponizing its currency, the world is building lifeboats, and gold, energy, and local currency trade are the oars. If you still think the dollar is untouchable, this article is your wake-up call, and that was in De-Dollarized News. The global revolt against the dollar has begun. Our dollar is under attack. In fact, you can look back at the history of the reserve currency status from Portugal to the United States. Reserve currencies last about 80 years. 80 years for Portuguese, 110 for Spain, 80 for Netherlands, 95 for France. Well, guess how long our dollar has been the reserve currency of the world?
Well, I've seen the notes, 79 years right now.
We're hitting 80 years this next year. All right, we've got some serious problems. The dollar's under attack. That's only the second trial by fire that we're facing. We're going to cover the other four. We got to finish up on the dollar and cover the other four, and we'll do that with Mike right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we were talking about the six trials by fire. The second one is an attack on our currency as the reserve currency of the world. Mike, do you understand what that means if we had our reserve currency status removed?
Well, I know we've been talking about this for a long time, and I'd always heard numbers of a 40% hit to the economy overnight. I think there's some new data that says it could be bigger than that.
Yeah, now I asked Grok. All right, so consider the source here, but I asked Grok, summarize the impact based on past experiences and understanding of our current economic picture. Here's a few highlights. A sudden loss of global reserve currency status for the U.S. dollar would trigger one of the most severe economic shocks in modern history. There'd be panic. Prices would jump 50 to 100%, especially for imported goods. lots of businesses would close. And I'm going to paraphrase, your 401k becomes a 101k because it's worth 25%. If you've got a lot of U.S. Treasury bonds and the dollar gets hit, nobody wants to buy them, they'll have to raise the interest offering. So we were alive when the federal government was paying 15, 18, 20% for Treasury bonds. Yes. If we got back to that level again, and by the way, Jimmy Carter could not sell bonds priced in U.S. dollars. He had to sell them where he promised to pay back in German marks or Swiss francs. In our lifetime, when we were in high school, if we got back that to that again and you had a safe U.S. Treasury bond holding, it might be worth 25 cents on the dollar. You'd lose 75 cents in your safest investment. So what do? We pray, and we should have transactional gold and silver. We've talked about that. But I just want to quote Barron's. A month ago, October 25th, 2024, China, Russia, Brazil want to demote the dollar. What's it say is the answer? It says right in the
gold.
Headline. It says gold is the answer.
Maybe they've been reading pirate money.
Maybe so. Barron's magazine. All right, so Time magazine's quoting Ray Dalio, who's a big hedge fund guy. He's owned Bridgewater Associates founder. He's made billions and billions of dollars. He says in Time magazine, October 30th, 2025, he says, what's the safest money?
Gold.
Gold is the safest money. Look it up. This is not conspiracy theory crazy. When I told the people in the Pentagon this in 2008, 9, and 10, oh, come on, Kevin, you seem really smart, but you can't buy into that. The dollar's permanent. It's always, China will never do anything to hurt the dollar. Why? They're our banker. They love us. They'll never do anything. We're facing a dollar attack now. Will it succeed? I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm going to jump in here too and say, we don't sell gold and silver. We're not a gold dealer. I mean, Glint has sponsored some things in this thing, but we don't sell gold, but we talk solutions. How do we protect liberty, security, and values? How do we make sure that our audience is prepared? This is real world stuff.
But gold as money is really hard. It's hard to deal with. What are you going to do with gold? You're going to take coins and you're going to shave off a little bit and buy a couple. It doesn't work. That's why we turn to transactional gold. Learn more at transactionalgold.com. The idea is to make gold and silver under the Constitution, biblical money, once again and useful. All right, will your work be survive being tested by fire? That's the question from the Bible. They said gold and silver are purified, wood, hay, and stubble, they burn up. That's our second trial by fire. The third trial by fire, central bank digital currency. That's the one you jumped to, Mike. Instantly, you know, if the dollar is failing, if our debt is failing, what is the plan from Washington, D.C., really from Davos, Switzerland? What's the plan?
The plan will be, don't worry, we've got something that's going to take care of you. We've got something so you're going to be able to get your food. You're going to have some stability. Here's your central bank digital currency.
You know, Rahm Emanuel said, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is it's an opportunity to do things that you could not do before. People, you walk in now and say, we're going to take away your liberty and you're going to have to give up your dollars and give up your gold and do everything. And we're going to give you some people to say, you're crazy. I'm not giving up cash. I don't want to do that. The only way they could pull this off is in a panic when the money faileth. Mm-hmm. And we cover that in Egypt. I'm not giving up my cattle, my horses, my land to the Pharaoh. Are you kidding? I'm not giving him all that until the money faileth. And then there's a crisis. And then we will turn for a solution to the crisis. That's Rahm Emanuel. That's how they do things. And when we have the crisis, if the money faileth and the currency gets attacked, they're going to have an answer. Well, the answer in biblical times was you'll sell yourself into slavery. What does it mean to adopt a central bank?
It's going to be kind of the same thing. They're going to control this programmable money. They'll be able to control how you spend your money, where you spend your money, how often you spend your money. All these things that, you know, at first, okay, this is going to save me. And then it's going to be that slippery slope of what did I just lose? Yep. And that's why it's so important that our audience members are prepared and we have solutions. And we believe transactional gold is a key part of this.
Oh, we do. And you've got to have an understanding. You've got to have your eyes wide open. There are 137 countries and currency unions representing 98% of global GDP exploring a central bank digital currency. In 2020, there were only 35. 72 countries are far advanced in this. This comes from AtlanticCouncil.org and their CBDC tracker. And guess what? We were on that path. We were heading fast on that path. Biden had open borders, which we'll get to as another trial by fire. And Biden had the currency collapsing. Inflation was running rampant. And his solution, he signed Executive Order 14067. It's 37 pages long. It's dated March 9th, 2022. And it's all about absolute control. Yeah.
Including DEI, ESG, all these things that set up that blue horse you've been talking about, the globalist controlling everything.
And fortunately, President Trump gets elected. He opposed it. He revoked the executive order, and the Congress outlawed it. Yay, we can go home. We're finished. No, it's only good till the next election.
There's an executive order, right?
And the law. In the next election, they can overturn it like that. In a crisis, they can overturn it like, oh, we will never do this. We're not doing that, but it's good that we do it. Mm-hmm. That's what Charlie Kirk said. He said, oh, no, we don't have open borders, but it's good that we do.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, we're not building a central bank digital currency, but it's good that we do because it'll fix this economic problem. No, it will be you selling yourself into slavery.
And one of the things we're trying to do with the legislation as we facilitate this across the country is we're seeing states say, well, we want to work in to make sure that people understand transactional gold will not be a central bank digital currency. It will be the anti-central bank digital currency.
There are people that are purposely trying to murky the waters that are unfortunately aiding and abetting the enemy, whether they know it or not. Maybe good people. But do you feel good about the next election with Mamdani winning? Do you feel really confident?
I don't think I have confidence to know what's going to happen next, but I do know, and we're both old enough to know, that the administrations always change, and when you feel good about something this cycle, just wait, because it's likely to change.
And so what's so bad about this? Here are six problems. One, unlimited money and debt creation. They just ramp it up. Number two, you don't own central bank digital currency. You get a use license. You get permission to use it. Number three, it can be programmed to expire. Number four, it can be withheld on a line item basis. You can't buy gasoline, but you can buy electricity for your car. You can't buy a gas stove, but you can buy an electric stove. You can't buy soda, but you can buy what we've pre-approved.
You can buy bugs, but you can't get a steak.
And you can buy your vaccine.
Yes. All
right. Number four, it can line item basis. Number five, it can be taken at will. And number six, it provides absolute control. And that's not me saying that. That was said by Augusta Karsten from the Bank for International Settlement. We had a Bank for International Settlement contractor in who said it. He said, no, I was there. They told us to program and build it this way. He confirmed it.
Yes.
But they've said it publicly. So how do you protect yourself?
And it's not just them. It's the IMF. It's the WEF that's consistent.
It is the Democrat Party. It is a lot in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. All right. How do you protect yourself? You have an alternative. Now, keep in mind, this is about money. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the economic war room, where we had that whistleblower, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's Pirate Money radio.com/AFR. And that is our third trial by fire. We sell ourselves into slavery. You know, my friend Eric Davidson, he's a brilliant guy. He's a PhD doctorate at Baylor University. We were business partners. He's best man at my wedding. He was godfather to our children. He once told me, he said, I'm so scared about the mark of the beast. And I said, Eric, why are you scared about it? He said, I'm afraid they're going to offer it with frequent flyer miles and I'll take it inadvertently. Here's the thing though. They're going to offer central bank digital currency free first, and oh no, you don't have to use it. It's not exclusive until it is. It's just like the vaccine. It's a privilege to get a vaccine, and then a few months later, you're mandated. You must take it. That's the problem we see with trial by fire number three.
So there's three, and there's more.
There is more. Here's the next
one. And this isn't an exciting more. I mean, there's more.
Yep. The next one is the rising wealth gap. All of these are interrelated. This one is insidious, though. When the feds print money, the rich get richer. It's not because we tax too little, Mamdani. It's not because you never get a break. It is because of unconstitutional money. Paper money gets tested by fire if fails. If you're not faithful with your unrighteous mammon, you will not have liberty, equality, which is the French notion. You won't have equal opportunity. The more they print, the worse it gets. And you can see this, the Federal Reserve published a chart. It shows the increase in the M2 money supply juxtaposed against the net worth held by the top 0.1%, not the top 1%, the 0.1%. Their wealth rises at the exact same pace, but the bottom 50% does not keep up at all.
Yeah.
And that's known as the Cantillon effect. Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. We talk about it all the time as we're traveling the country on this. But that wealth gap is real. People are feeling it more than ever now. And there's, again, it's time to address it. There's a solution. And, you know, even Trump saw that with Mam Dani. He addressed, there's things we can work on together to help the people. There's a wealth gap there that everybody recognizes.
You know, the king in France was warned about this by Richard Cantillon, and his writings were published in 1755, and he warned about the wealth gap. Because what happens when you print a lot of money, if you're close to the king, you benefit from it, and you can benefit and profit from inflation. The money becomes available to you cheap, and yet the prices rise almost instantly, and the money doesn't reach Topeka, Kansas. It gets to Washington. It gets to New York. Mm-hmm. It might even get to Dallas and Miami and Silicon Valley. But it does not get to the heartland of America. So all they see are rising prices, but their wages don't go up. Cantillon warned, he told the crown, if you don't address this, you will lose your heads. It was the French Revolution in 1789, where they had not an American-style revolution based on God. We had a great awakening. They had an off-with-their-heads moment, and they turned on each other, and it looked like hell on earth in France with the French Revolution. Our revolution was based on God. We need a great awakening, but we have to obey Luke 16:11 and get the money part right. We've been using unjust weights and measures, and God hates those, according to Proverbs 20:23. So what is the answer, Mike?
Transactional gold, pirate money.
Optional state-based money. You can learn more at transactionalgold.com. We're not finished. We have two more trials by fire.
Oh, great.
They both relate to money, and we've got to address them, and we must do it soon.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by the great Mike Carter, and we're talking about the six trials by fire. And they're all about money, but it's interesting because God himself wrote in his word about trials by fire. Will you work, hold up like gold and silver, which are purified, or will it be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble? That is a trial by fire. So the six trials by fire that we're facing, we're talking about the collapse of the dollar, we're talking about the wealth gap, we're talking about people attacking our currency and the implementation of central bank digital currency. Trial by fire number five, I've labeled it as demographic destiny. World's largest religion right now, today.
Muslim.
No, Christianity, but almost.
No. Oh, you got me. All right.
Christianity is currently the largest
religion. I wasn't
religion.
Quite tracking the question.
Well, it
to be
depends
fair.
On when you listen to this. Yeah. If you listen to this 5 years from now, I'm sad to admit you might be right. Currently, Christianity is the world's largest religion, 2.3 billion followers, while Islam has approximately 2 billion followers. But Islam is the world's fastest growing major religion, driven by a younger demographic and higher birth rates, projected to nearly equal Christianity in size by 2050. You know, in 1900, there were only 200 million Muslims in the world. Today, there are 2 billion Muslims. They've increased tenfold over the last, 125 years. Christianity has about 2.3 billion adherents. Theirs is the fastest growing religion, which is a shame to us. Why? Why? Because we value money more than God. I'm telling you, it all comes down to that. You want to see a peaceful, loving world that's surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to Islam, then you've got to get the money part right. You've got to have fair, equitable weights and measures. Why in New York are they turning from Christ and turning into Mamdani and wanting communism and Islam? Why? because they, young people don't see opportunity. And so they delay their marriages. They don't want to get married as soon, which will hit us in trial six. And they say, I don't have a way to have ownership. And all of those things, Muslim appeals to a disaffected younger demographic compared to Christianity. And the Muslim families are having higher birth rates with the large Muslim populations. Right now, Muslims and Hindus have, Muslims have 6.4 people in the household, Hindus 5.7, Christians 4.5, and falling. Yeah. That's a trial by fire right now.
Yeah, and I think that Muslim religion, the fact that it's growing so fast, they don't necessarily have that free will approach like we see in Christianity. It's kind of like, you're going to be this.
And I'm not saying this happens across the board with Muslim families, but I will tell you there are instances where one Muslim man might have 4, 5, or 6 households mm-hmm. with six people each. So he has multiple wives or girlfriends. They're on the American dole where they're receiving welfare payments, and they might live in the same housing complex in Detroit, and he might have 6 families with 6 each. So that one Muslim man has reproduced to create 36 mm-hmm. in his family. Whereas we will have on average 1.9 to 2.1 American children. Yeah. So Charlie Kirk advice for young men, find a good woman, fall in love, get married, and have more babies than you can afford. Whoa, do you see that last thing? What is that a trial of? Money. Mm-hmm. It's our trial by fire. So we've rigged the system so that larger families are hurt by this system. And people, I'm going to delay. It's too expensive. I can't buy a house, so mm-hmm. I'm going to get married later. Well, it's too expensive. We have to have two families working to afford that house, two parents working. So we don't have time to be at home with the kids. And so if we do have kids, we send them off to somebody else to raise. But in a lot of cases, we'll just delay till we've saved up a little more money. And Charlie Kirk hits straight at the heart of that.
Yeah, and you know, life happens. I kind of fell into that trap when I was younger. It's like, once I have everything set and I can make sure my family's well taken care of, then it'll be time to do that. You know what? Life, even when we think you have everything set, it's not set.
But what caused this? When did the birth rate decline? When did marriage get later? What year did that start? Do you remember?
I don't. I remember the dink thing back
in 1971.
Oh, that was even before my time.
Why 1971, though? You know that.
We got off the money thing again,
the gold standard. We abandoned the gold standard. Nixon took us off. That's when he unleashed the four horses of the American apocalypse, and the 6 trials by fire were launched. The gasoline was spread by the four horsemen, and the match was lit, and it's spreading. And unfortunately, Charlie Kirk stood against it. He said, find a good woman, fall in love, get married, and have more babies than you can afford. That the trial by fire is demographics. Be fruitful and multiply, God said, and I can't afford to.
Yeah,
it's money.
I remember my mom in the 70s when I was still a high schooler, junior high schooler, interest rates being 16%. She goes, I don't know how you ever afford a home. At the time, I'm like, what does that mean? Now, that corrected itself by the 80s, but we're in that same situation again where people are probably worse than we were then, where we see people saying, how do I have a family? How do I afford a home? How do I get a job that's going
to
pay something?
If you go to central bank digital currency, they'll tell you're allowed to have one baby. It's like a one-child policy or two babies, and they will tell you what you can do or your money will be turned on or turned off. See how all of these are interrelated. That's trial by fire number 5. We're demographically losing this war because we're not having babies. And trial by fire number 6 is wide open borders. And here's a quote. Bobby Jindal said it first. Charlie Kirk quoted it frequently. Immigration without assimilation is an invasion. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that happen. I was talking recently with our guest in next week is Jacobuyans. And he's South African. It cost him $100,000, took years for him to get his American citizenship. He said, I didn't come here to be a South African. I came here to be an American. Mm-hmm. He spent a personal fortune to get his citizenship.
The melting pot. He had to know the language. He had to know English. He had to take the test in English. It wasn't, which language would you like your test in?
No, it wasn't. You have to speak the common language. Look, the American dream is a great thing. If you want to be an American and live out that dream, if you want to come for America for that reason, we should welcome you. We want people who want to be Americans from all backgrounds. It's not a racial thing. It's not anything else. But If you want solely to come for the benefits and have babies, you could literally bankrupt our country. And the worst of it is those who are pushing for open borders, this is the yellow, but it's also the blue, and in the green, and the red, because the communist Chinese are pouring over the border, military-age males. We're seeing a lot of Muslims come to this country that want to stay in their enclaves and have their Sharia compounds. The blue is the globalists. They say there'll be no borders, and billion people will be resettled, but it's also the yellow. Those who are promoting this are doing it for the money, and they're being paid billions and billions of dollars to bring immigrants in, whether it's a Christian Catholic charity or whether it is a nonprofit NGO. They are literally causing this border crisis, and the cost to the American taxpayer is off the charts. Milton Friedman said it's one thing to have free immigration to get jobs. It's okay. You can have an open border, but it's another to have free immigration to welfare. Yes. If you're coming here to produce and be a productive part of society, then you grow our economy. But if you're coming here to get our welfare and benefits, Milton Friedman says you can have open borders and you can have a welfare society, but you can't have both.
Yeah. And what did we do in this last administration and prior to that? We were literally saying, come in for the welfare.
We were literally, and here's your free Obama phone, and here's your welfare, and give us your tired, poor, hungry. Sure, if you want to come and be a part of America like the pilgrims did, we want you to come in, but not to impose something to radically remake our Constitution. Sharia law, no. No, it's antithetical to the Constitution. If you want to come here and support the Constitution, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have freedom of religion. You can worship God any way you choose here, but not destroying the Constitution or infringing on my wife, my rights, or my wife to wear a burqa, and you can't do this or you'll get raped. No, we don't accept that. Look, all of this is economic. All six trials by fire happened when we dumped gold and unleashed fiat money. We created an unjust weight and measure. America blew it in 1971, but now we have a way back. We're going to have to take the political system, but we don't get that until we obey Luke 16:11 and get the money part right. And under the biblical framework, money that's based on paper, wood, hay, and stubble will burn up in a trial by fire. It will fail. And when the money faileth, people sell themselves into slavery. So we have to make an alternative money that will not faileth. And that is literally transactional gold and silver.
Yeah. And it's moving across America. And it's God is doing it. And we're seeing successful legislation, more states to come, all super excited to see what God is doing in this. And it's bigger than us. The good news is there is a solution. There is a framework for what might be coming down the road. And we see in each of these trials and the four horsemen that are out there.
Yeah. So four horsemen and six trials by fire, but we have six states passed it, five states signed it into law, and 20 states on the horizon for this year, led by Christian lawmakers from the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, NACL, led by Pro-Family Legislative Network, led by ALEC and others who have adopted our legislation. Which states should we be praying for? By the way, you can see if your state's included in this and learn more at transactionalgold.com. But which states should we be praying for?
Well, we should be praying for all of our states, but those that are moving forward legislatively, we're seeing a lot of momentum in Georgia, and I hate to start listing because there's so many out there right now, but Georgia, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Dakota, South Dakota, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, West Virginia, even South Carolina. We had some legislators reached out to us the other day.
North Carolina, yeah, Tennessee.
Yeah, so this thing is moving, and we're trying to keep up with it and facilitate this, but we know that God's got it under control, and even if it's not in your state, there'll be an opportunity for, if you live in a state that isn't going to get legislation done this year, maybe to have some transactional gold in a state nearby.
That's right. All right, so if you have questions, if you have prayer needs, if you have comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com and pray. Pray for America and the world to return to God's principles, and in doing so, His divine protection. Pray for transactional gold and silver efforts to restore biblical money. Pray to win, to beat the four horsemen of the American apocalypse and the six trials by fire. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever. Share this with your friends. Check us out. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.